Good morning.
Good morning.
Excuse me. I have a couple of announcements to share with you this morning. The first is to remind you that we are having our spring congregational meeting on April 7th. On the back table are copies of what we will be going over in the meeting. It's the handout that says April Spring Congregational Meeting. So if you would like to take one and read through these before the meeting, we invite you to. Second announcement is this Saturday. This Saturday is our spring craft show. It will be held in McFadden Hall. We hope that you'll be able to make it out and come see what's going on. I believe there's also a bake sale and a Chinese auction, all good things. So we hope you can make it out on Saturday. I just very quickly want to remind the craft show people that we are having a wedding here in the sanctuary at 3:30 on Friday. So if you see people here, then that's what's going on. They should have no reason to be in McFadden Hall, so it should not interrupt at all setting up for the craft show, but I just wanted to make you aware that there will be people here on Friday afternoon. Final announcement is on the back table in there's a pink sheet of paper where you can sign up for Easter lilies if you would like them. I believe, when do they have to be in by? April 14th, which is Palm Sunday. So please sign up on the sheet so we can have them ordered in time for our Easter service. Those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else have any announcements they would like to make? No? All right, let us move into our call to worship. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my wickedness. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with your bountiful Spirit. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, Son of God, Whose Heart is Peace, number 425. Join with me for our prayer of confession. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires. that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength. Through Jesus Christ, your Son. Join with me now for our words of assurance. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Now, as we confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us greet one another in faith. There's never enough time for greeting. At the other church, we take, at least 8 minutes, because everybody hugs everybody a couple times. Let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our anthem.
Thank you. We have a prayer request from Kathy Sagi for her ex-father-in-law, Rick Robel. He went in for his biopsy to see the type and stage of his lung cancer, and they must have nicked the lung. He is now recovering at home, but not doing well. Prayers for comfort and healing. Prayers his biopsy results come back with a treatable type. Thank you.
I have one prayer request to add to this. My grandmother asked that we would pray for her. She had to go back to the hospital this week because she's got some fluid buildup in her lung, and they did a surgery on Thursday to, I think it's to put a port in, so to drain the fluid. And she's having some complications from that, so she's still at Shadyside. The hope is that she'll be able to move more to a nursing home and not have to stay in the hospital, but it's kind of a day-by-day thing. So please pray for her that she would get stronger and she'd be able to leave the hospital, go to the nursing home, and eventually to come home. So thank you for that. At this time, I invite us to rise and join with me for our hymn of meditation, In Silence, My Soul Thirsts, number 790. be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, through your Son, you have called us to repent of our sin, to believe the good news, and to celebrate the coming of your kingdom. Like Christ's apostles, may we hear his call to discipleship, and forsaking old ways, proclaim the gospel of new life in a broken world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. We pray for Rick and we pray for Diane. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we lament that we live in a nation and a city that is divided. This weekend, we saw just how divided our city and our nation could be over a jury verdict over the police shooting of Antoine Ross and over the soon-to-be-released Mueller report. Lord, our heart breaks for this division. We know that we as Christians need to lead the example of how to stay in relationship with people we disagree with. Lord, we pray that in these moments when we're having these hard conversations, you would send your spirit of peace so that we could learn to listen instead of talk, to understand before we are understood. Lord, we pray for healing in our city and in our nation, because we know that ultimately only you can do this. Lord, we also present our joys to you with gratitude. We thank you that after what has felt like an endless winter, spring is starting to blossom. Lord, we thank you for the weddings and anniversaries and baptisms we will celebrate in the life of this congregation this week. We pray that you would be with all those who are entering into these seasons of celebration as they make their final preparations this week. Lord, we also pray that you would be with our Women's Association, our deacons, and anyone who has agreed to help with our craft show. Give them peace as they make their preparations for Saturday. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear and do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue to worship God by presenting our offering. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts to the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading comes from Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 9. So everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and those of you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways are my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Bless the reading of the word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I am sick with wanting, and it's evil and it's daunting how everything I love lay cherish, how everything I cherish lay to waste. I am lost in greed. This time it's definitely me. I point fingers, but there's no one there to blame. These are the opening lyrics to the song Ill with Want by the Avett Brothers, which is my generation's kind of interpretation of the 1965 classic I Can't Get No Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones. Each of these songs name how unmet desires can consume us if we're not careful. And what's interesting about both the Rolling Stones and the Avett Brothers is they are part of a minority of people who've actually had their wildest desires met. And they sing in both of the songs about having attained these desires that ultimately don't satisfy. Unmet desires usually start innocently enough. For example, every time I go to my gym, I see women wearing these Lululemon leggings. These leggings do not fall down, no matter how many burpees we do. They are magically sweat absorbent, even if we're doing a workout that involves a lot of cardio. They are high-waisted, which for women tends to be a slimming look. The only problem is that these leggings retail for about $120 a pair. And every time I go to the Lululemon store in Ross Park Mall, they seem to only stock up to a size 8. So even if I could afford, or let's be real, fit into a pair of these leggings, I'm actually not convinced that they would make me enjoy burpees anymore. Also, the more I think about it, the more that I realize that $120 is my entire monthly grocery budget. So if I bought a pair, I would just not eat that month, right? But, you know, I would look good doing it, so that's all that matters, right? No, that's a joke. But that's the real problem with these unmet desires or being sick with wanting, is they trick us into desiring things that deep down we know ultimately aren't going to satisfy us. This morning, I decided to take a break from the Gospel of Luke and read instead from the prophet Isaiah. I'm sure you heard as Kathy was doing the scripture reading that prophetic writing sounds different than gospel narratives. This is because our gospels are narrated by Jesus's disciples. So these are people that have been living and working and walking with Jesus. And the prophets are men who have been called by God to speak words of judgment against people and kings who are behaving badly. But this particular text, I think, does a good job of addressing our Lenten theme of repentance, even though it's coming at it from a different perspective. In Luke, having encountered Jesus, the disciples cannot help but repent of their behaviors that are not in line with the kingdom of God. In fact, by the time we get to the end of Luke, it should be so obvious to the disciples and to us that Jesus is the risen Lord, that we want to repent of our behaviors naturally. Isaiah, on the other hand, is a prophet, and he is preaching hundreds of years before Jesus walked the earth. Now, prophets were men who were called by God to speak words of judgment and repentance against people and kings that were not living in accordance with God's will. Isaiah is an interesting prophet. So a lot of our prophets are going to be men called by God, who God then calls to go to another community and preach words of judgment against them. Isaiah, like Jesus, actually grew up in this community. He is a court prophet. He is a person that has been hired by the king, basically to tell the king how great he is. Except Isaiah keeps saying, "You are awful and you need to repent." And like we will see with Jesus, this doesn't end well for Isaiah either. But we're not there yet, and I don't want to give the ending away. In this passage, Isaiah warns the Israelites that their constant striving to satisfy themselves is ultimately doomed to failure. These are the wicked ways he's calling the Israelites to repent of. Isaiah insists, especially at the end of our passage, that only God can satisfy these deep desires of our hearts. I want to spend a couple minutes giving you some background and context on Isaiah. So Isaiah is prophesying in the 8th century, so many, many years before Jesus was born. And as a court prophet, his job is to read the stars in the sky and to kind of warn the king about danger that may be looming. Instead of doing this, Isaiah keeps calling the king to repent, and the king doesn't like this very much. But worse still, he keeps having these public forums where he calls the people to repent of their behavior. Isaiah is preaching words of judgment against his own people. And like they did with Jesus, they're going to try a couple times to push him off a cliff. Isaiah is doing this because he loves his people, and he wants to warn them about God's wrath before they can't repent anymore. He keeps saying, I think he says this about 10 times in the whole book of Isaiah, God is going to destroy you, and you deserve it, so you should repent. I mean, he goes on a lot longer, but that's the general gist of it. But what I love about Isaiah is that he's doing this because he can't accept that God is done with the Israelites. Yes, they are going to be punished. Spoiler alert, the Assyrians are going to invade Babylon in a couple years, and that's not going to be good for anyone. But even in the midst of this invasion, God is never going to forsake his people. Our scripture reading for today, Isaiah 55, occurs at the end of what scholars call 2nd Isaiah. So there's a 1st Isaiah, a 2nd Isaiah, and a 3rd Isaiah. So it's kind of in the middle of the book. In 2nd Isaiah, the point of it is to proclaim hope and salvation to folks living in Babylonian exile. Exile was not a fun time or period to be alive. It's this intense period of poverty, dislocation, not really knowing who or where your home is. The Israelites would have longed for an opportunity to eat and drink without paying for things because they had neither food or money. Isaiah proclaims that even in the strangeness of a faraway land, in the face of powers beyond their control, God promises restoration and renewal. Now, we are not Babylonian exiles. Thank God for that. But I imagine that we are familiar with this sensation of desiring things that we know ultimately don't satisfy. Maybe you don't want a pair of Lululemon leggings, but maybe you find yourself desiring an entire ice cream sundae with which, after you eat it, you feel awful. Maybe you desire a car or a home that you can't really afford. Or maybe you long for a return to a way of life that simply doesn't exist anymore, and this desire is making you oh so very angry. This season of Lent challenges us to consider the reality of our own sinfulness, our own unmet desires, and our own need for repentance. But Lent also challenges us to depend on God and to depend on each other equally. The opening lines of Isaiah 55 should sound a little bit familiar to us. Does anyone have a guess where we would see those lines, maybe in another form of worship? That's a hint.
That's what I'm pointing at.
You can see what I'm doing. Baptism. So the opening lines of Isaiah 55 we frequently use when we are baptizing a baby. Come, all who thirst. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. In our tradition, we believe that baptism is a gift of God for the people of God. It's something that we receive from God. It's not something that we earn. I think this is why most of us were baptized as babies, before we could confess our faith, when our parents had to confess their faith on our behalf. But we live in a society that teaches us to be skeptical of things that we get that we don't deserve and we can't earn. I'm sure we've all heard the expression, "There's no such thing as a free lunch." Meaning we're wary of the motives of people who give things away for free. Because usually these free things come with strings attached. We worry that if we take this free gift, we are going to become beholden to the gift giver, who in this case is God. One of the great paradoxes or mysteries of our faith is this idea that we become freer the more we learn to depend on God and to depend on one another. Baptism is one way that the gathered community lives this out, where we or our parents publicly profess our faith and also our dependence on God. And the beautiful thing about baptism is that in baptism, we take on a new identity. We become children of God. In baptism, God cures our illness of feeling disconnected or purposeless, of feeling not good enough or not successful enough. Having been claimed as God's own in baptism, we no longer need to seek self-esteem from the things we know don't satisfy. Whether those things are making a lot of money, owning a fancy car, or in my case, wearing ridiculously expensive leggings. This new identity is bestowed on us in the waters of baptism. It reminds us that we are enough. We have enough, and that we are doing enough. I know that we usually think of Lent as this somber period of waiting for Easter. It's a time that we associate with giving things up and perhaps maybe going to church more than we are used to. But Lent can also be a really blessed time, a time of engaging in ancient spiritual disciplines, like repentance, that draw us closer to God and also to the community God has called and gathered. In this spirit, I'm actually going to bless us twice today, and I'm going to end our time together with a word of blessing. As you go from this place, remember your baptism. Remember that you are enough. You have enough, and you are doing enough. Because Jesus loves you. He always has, and he always will. Amen. At this time, I invite us to rise and sing our closing hymn, which we are going to sing through twice. O God, you are my God, number 743. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God has sent you. God has a purpose to you being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something he wants to do through you wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.